Indeed, the Lamb of God, who has taken the sins of the world, is indeed holy. And he deserves all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. This morning I will be preaching on the title, Joy to the World, the King has been born. And our text is going to be Luke chapter 2, verse 10 to 14. Luke chapter 2, verse 10 to 14. If you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to read. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Let us pray. Father, thank you because the entrance of your word brings light. And light shines in darkness, and darkness comprehends it not. As I engage in the exposition of this text this morning, O God, I pray for clarity of thought. I pray for the move of the Holy Spirit. And I pray for the grace that we need to understand and apply the meaning of this text in a way that will not only make our joy complete, but in a way that will bring glory and honor to your name. So have your way, Lord, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Of course, we are all aware that we are gradually drawing close to Christmas Day. And so we have been enjoying the Christmas season. And as Christians, it is important for us to approach this season with a biblical understanding of what it is all about. We need to realize that Jesus is indeed the reason for the season. But the basis of our thought must be shaped by Scripture, it must be informed by Scripture, and it must premise on Scripture, because that's who we are. And I have already emphasized in different ways that my prayer and my hope for Glen Burnie Baptist Church is that we will be a church in this community that has a reputation of being a church that is all about the Word of God. It is my prayer that the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God will be the basis of our existence. How we do ministry should be shaped by the Word. How we understand membership should be shaped by the word. It is my hope and my prayer that the reason why our members will be proud to call themselves Glen Burnie Baptist Church members would be because in this church, we preach the word. We teach the word and we stand by the word. And that the primary reason why any other individual from the community will want to be part of Glen Burnie Baptist Church will be because Glen Burnie is a church that stands on the word, that preaches the word, and that teaches the word. You see, a church that is shaped by the gospel, that is driven by the gospel, that is inspired by the gospel, is the church that Christ came to build. And my prayer is that Glen Burnie become increasingly a Bible-centered and Bible-based church. And so as a Bible-centered and Bible-based church, we must approach Christmas from a Bible-shaped perspective. What does the Bible teach on the subject? How should our understanding of Christmas be shaped by Scripture so that we don't end up celebrating Christmas as the world does, but we will celebrate it with this biblical understanding and perspective? Therefore, this morning I will engage in the exposition of Luke chapter 2, verse 10 to 14, so that we can learn from this text how we must approach this season of Christmas. But before I get to the exposition of the text, I'd like to begin by giving you some contextual background knowledge of the text. It's important for us to situate the text in its context so that we can understand what Luke meant by what he says here, so that we can apply it accordingly to our lives. So if we go as far back as in the days of Jesus, in those days, it was customary for political leaders to order that census be carried out for tax purposes. And it is believed that this census was carried out every after 14 years. And so Luke recounts that when a certain ruler called Caesar Augustus was emperor of Rome, and at a time when Quirinus was governor of Syria, Caesar Augustus, who was the nephew of Julius Caesar, issued an injunction that a census be carried out throughout the Roman Empire and its territories. And at the time, Israel was under the rule of the Romans. Therefore, this injunction also meant that everyone in Israel had to participate in this census. And it was required that everyone had to register in their ancestral home and carry out the census from there. And so for this reason, a young soon-to-be couple, Mary and Joseph, who lived in a small town of Galilee, had to obey the orders of the emperor to go to their ancestral home, which was in Bethlehem of Judea, because they belong in the household of David. And so Mary and Joseph had to travel there. It is believed that the journey was such a tedious one. The distance from Galilee to Bethlehem of Judea was about 80 miles. And it could be accomplished in as little as 4 days or in as many as 8 to 10 days, depending on how fast the travelers were. And the Bible tells us that it was also within this period that Mary was great with child, the same child that an angel had appeared to her and told her about this child. And so Mary and Joseph took their time, took as many days as they needed, traveled in a cold winter weather from Galilee to Bethlehem. And when they got to Bethlehem, shortly after that, the Bible tells us that Mary was in labor. And so her husband, so to speak, had to do the best he could. Ran helter-skelter, looking for an inn where Mary could have her baby. But there was no inn available for them. All of his efforts only produced very paltry results. And all he could manage to secure for Mary was a manger. A manger is a long open box that is often used to store food for animals, where animals could eat from it. And the word manger actually comes from the French word manger, which means to eat. And so of all the places that the Lord could be born and placed on, the only thing that was available was a manger. And the Bible tells us that in that cold winter night, apparently, Mary gave birth to a firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling cloth, and laid him in this dirty little manger that her husband had secured for her, because there was no room for them in the inn. And when that happened, something interesting happened that night. God decided to inform a group of people about the birth of Christ, the very first group of people. And what the group of people who came in God's mind were not the kings or the lords of that city, or even the apostles or the disciples that would become, that would eventually follow Jesus. Those who came to God's mind were insignificant, lowly shepherds. And the Bible said they were in that same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And God sent an angel to go deliver this good news about the birth of Christ to these lowly group of people. Just a little bit about shepherds in those days. Now, shepherds were really despised by the people in those days. They were despised because their work prevented them from keeping the ceremonial laws of the land. They were always involved in traveling, and sometimes they were often thought of as thieves in their travels. Shepherds were considered very unreliable, and they were not even allowed to give evidence in court. They were not considered a worthy witness to give evidence in court. So it was a lowly profession, despised by the people. But it was these people that God chose to first announce about the birth of Christ. And while they were in this open field, keeping watch over their flock by night, the Bible tells us that this angel appeared unto them suddenly, unexpectedly, and they were very afraid, which is understandable. Zechariah was afraid when an angel appeared to him. Mary was also afraid when an angel appeared to him. So it's okay, it was understandable. They were afraid when they saw the angel because it was sudden. It was the manifestation of the glory of heaven, and it was just frightening. But our text goes on. In our text, we're going to see what the angel told these shepherds as they were staring with fear in their eyes, wondering what was going on, wondering what has happened. In verse 10 of our text, The angel said to them, "Fear not. Don't be afraid, shepherds, because I come bearing good news. And the news that I come bearing is not just for you only. It's not just for the Jews only. It's for all people." For all people. And so, even though the angel came to them, he actually came for all of us. His visit to them was for us, because his news was for all people. All people, irrespective of race, irrespective of color, irrespective of nationality, the news about Christ's birth was for all people. In verse 11, he goes on to specify what this news is. He says, "A Savior, your Savior, has been born today in the city of David." That's the news I came with for you. And in verse 12, he says, "I'm going to give you information about how to find this Savior." Because it's not just an ordinary child. It's not just any child. He's a specific child. So when you go to the city of David, you are going to find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloth and lying in a manger. When you see, you will know that that is the baby I'm referring to. And when the angels had delivered the message and told the disciples how to find Jesus, something interesting happened in verse 13. "Suddenly, there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly host praising God." So when the angel delivered the message, heaven confirmed the message and began praising God. Even heaven was happy for man that the Savior had been born. And in verse 14, the details of this praise is recorded. And I'm going to spend some time to help us understand what this praise was all about. So this heavenly host, to corroborate the message of the angel, the heavenly host began to shout, "Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest." This means that the birth of Christ should not only bring glory and joy to a certain group of people like you, it should be experienced in the highest heavens. On earth and even in heaven, glory to God in the highest. This indicates that the praise of redemption should not only be confined on earth, but it has to spread throughout the universe. The glory of Christ's birth must be experienced in the highest heavens. It must be experienced in the highest thrones. Especially in our society that we have unfortunately defined class and status, where the people are categorized in different social class and social status. The glory of God must be experienced in all social strata that we have designed. Glory to God in the highest. And he goes on to say, on earth, peace. In other words, peace on earth. In Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6, the prophet Isaiah had prophesied that when Jesus will be born, he would be what? He would be a prince of peace. And so here, the heavenly host is saying, because the Lord has been born, let the earth rejoice, let the heavens rejoice, and because peace has come on earth. But how will this peace come? The Bible tells us how peace is going to come on earth. Peace, from a biblical and theological perspective, is not the absence of war. It's the presence of Christ. Because he is indeed the Prince of Peace. And how will Christ bring peace? Christ will bring peace by reconciling man back to God. And how will this reconciliation take place? Through the influence of the power of Christ. Christ will cause man to lay down their weapon of rebellion against God and submit their soul to Him. And when that happens, they will experience the peace of God that is above every human understanding. Without surrendering to God, you cannot experience His peace. It was a great theologian, Saint Augustine, who once made the statement. He said, man was made for God. And until he finds God, he will never be at peace. And so, Christ brings peace on earth because through Him, we are reconciled back to God. And when we are reconciled back to God, we experience peace. David experienced this peace and this joy, and he confessed in his testimony. He said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Why? Because in His presence there is fullness of joy, and in His right hand there is a never-ending pleasure. So, Christ will bring peace on earth because He's going to reconcile man back to this experience that David described, where there will be a never-ending pleasure. And in verse 14b, the text goes on to say, among those with whom He is pleased. Peace on earth among those with whom He is pleased. Now, this last part of the verse, which is the NIV translation, is supported by several other translations. If you look at the North American Standard Bible, if you look at the New Living Translation, if you look at the New International Version of the Bible, if you look at the Good News Bible, you will see them, they say the same thing. Peace on earth to those whom God is pleased. But if you look at the King James Bible and the New King James Bible, the message is slightly different. Their translation is slightly different, suggesting a slightly different message. King James Bible says, peace, goodwill towards man. So King James Bible does not define the class of men who will experience this peace. It's a universal, which means all men. So there is a little discrepancy as to the meaning here when we consider this last part of this heavenly jubilation as a result of Christ's birth. So if you go by the King James translation of this particular line of that verse, it means that what the Bible is saying, that the peace that Jesus brings on earth is for men, for all men, without any specification on which type of man. But if you go by what the ESV and the several other translations that I've just mentioned, Good News, NASB, NIV, if you go by their translation, it means the Bible is saying the peace that Jesus brings is not for all men on earth. It is for those with whom God is pleased. So it defines the class of those who will experience this peace that Jesus brings. So the question is, what do we consider as truth? What should we hold to truth? Well, that's some advantage why you listen to a theologian. because of this discrepancy, I had to do some study. And there is an original Greek translation of the Bible known as the Textus Receptus. The Textus Receptus is a Greek translation of the Bible that was put together by a household name in Protestant theology known as Erasmus of Rotterdam. And this version of the Bible was the version that the Protestant reformers used. And we believe that it is the most accurate Bible version that we could actually look up to. According to this Textus Receptus, here's how the verse is read. It says, En anthropois eudokias, which means among men in whom he is well pleased. So if you look at the very original Greek version of the Bible, it doesn't say the peace is for everyone on earth. It says the peace is for those whom God is pleased with. Therefore, that's my stand. That even though Christ is the Prince of Peace, and he comes bringing peace, not everyone will receive him as the Prince of Peace. Some will reject him. Some will kill him. Some will scream and say, crucify him. We don't want him. Even though he did no sin. We prefer to release a criminal, Barnabas, just so that this man be killed, even though he did no wrong. He is a Prince of Peace, but not all will receive him as a Prince of Peace. Those who receive him as Prince of Peace are those whom God is pleased with. So I want to ask you the question. How do you receive Christ? Do you receive him as a Prince of Peace? Or do you receive him as an excuse for you to go on a vacation? Do you receive him as an excuse for you to spend money on gifts and party? Who is Jesus for you? Because the peace that he brings is for those whom God is pleased with. Is God pleased with you? This will define how you celebrate Christmas. Therefore, my message for you this morning from this text is this. All those who must celebrate the birth of Christ and who must rejoice at his birth are those who are the direct beneficiaries of the peace that he brings. Those are the people who should rejoice. If you are here this morning and you have not experienced the peace of God, which is him reconciling you back to God, you were once a sinner, and in your sin you were lost, and you are totally depraved, and you only deserve death. If you have not experienced that reconciliation with Christ, you have not with God through Christ, you have not experienced his peace, and so you have no business celebrating his birth, because it doesn't mean anything to you. Let's be mindful that the world of sin does not understand the true meaning of Christ, or does not even recognize the purpose of his coming. For the world of sin, Christmas is a time to buy gifts only. Christmas is a time to go on vacation only. Christmas is a time to decorate our homes and decorate the streets and just enjoy and relax. That's it. But for those for whom Christ, for whom God is pleased, who have experienced the peace that Jesus brings, Christmas is beyond all of that. It's okay to go on vacation with your family during Christmas. It's okay to beautify your home and put some Christmas trees and Christmas lights in your home. It's okay. It's okay to cook some good food and enjoy with friends and family. But for a child of God, Christmas must mean something beyond that. It must be that time in the year where you come together as family and say, if Jesus did not come, we would not have been reconciled back to God. If Jesus did not offer us our salvation that we have, we would have been lost. So this is a time to acknowledge the grace of God and thank Him for the gift of Jesus Christ. And so I encourage you today, as those who have been redeemed by the atoning work of Christ, celebrate Christmas as one of those with whom God is pleased. Let your celebration of Christmas be different from those who have rejected Christ, who do not know Christ, who do not profess Him as Lord. It should be different. Be an example to your friends. Be an example to your neighbors. Be an example to your friends' friends. Let them see the purpose of Christ fulfilled through you because you experience the peace that Jesus brings. And so the basis for our joy is the saving work of Christ. That is the reason why we celebrate. Which explains why in this old hymn, the old hymn writer encourages the saints to rejoice on this season of Christmas, because yes, there is a need to rejoice if indeed we have experienced this peace that He has brought to us. He said, joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him a room, and heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and heaven and nature sing. That is our joy. He has come to rule the world by giving us the opportunity to experience His peace. So let us, for that reason, celebrate His birth. I'm going to ask you all to stand to your feet as we conclude this service. I'd like you to join us to sing this song, Joy to the World, with an understanding that it is a calling to rejoice in Christ because He has brought to us salvation full and free. It's an understanding that He has given us peace by reconciling us back to God. And so we want to rejoice for that purpose. Joy to the world. Of his love and wonders of his love. Help us, O Lord, to celebrate this season of Christmas with this biblical and theological understanding. May we be reminded of the fact that you have brought us peace by reconciling us back to God. And for that reason, we want to celebrate. Father, I pray that as we all celebrate Christmas with friends and family, that over and above the eating and drinking and the beautification of our homes and the travels that we will embark on this week, help us not to lose sight of the real purpose and the real meaning of Christmas. And now to Him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the mighty throne of the mighty God, even Jesus, the Son of the living God, be all glory, dominion, and power. And as you go, may you go with the peace of the Lord. And as you celebrate, may you celebrate for the glory of the Lord. And may the Lord be with you in your going out and in your coming in until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen.